Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Secrets of the Sire. We do this every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc, and streaming live on facebook.com/secretsofthesire, youtube.com/secretsofthesire, and a whole bunch of other places that are just great places
that are,
to be.
Yeah, and there are other places that are places.
We are talking Avengers Endgame, we are talking Captain Marvel, we are talking Alita Battle Angel, and we are talking the Bud Knight. We are talking post-Super Bowl commercials. I'm your host, Michael Dolce, and as always, joined by my co-host extraordinaire, Mr. Hassan Godwin. How you doing, sir?
I'm better.
You're better?
Yeah, I was really bad Monday and Tuesday.
Really?
I had food poisoning.
I feel
though I am instructed to inform the world that it wasn't the Super Bowl party that I was at where I contracted this food poisoning.
No?
Yes. Yeah, no, it wasn't. All right. So no lawsuits. But yeah, I'm way better now than I was, let's say, yesterday.
Well, that's good to hear. That's what I'd like to hear.
I'm happy about it.
You know, one observation I gotta make already.
What's that?
Is the fact that it's just me and you tonight.
We're alone.
The last two weeks, we've had 800 guests in studio. We've had Netflix producers. We've had podcast hosts. We've had bona fide celebrities. We've had bald-headed Spanish friends of ours.
Oh my God.
I can only say that.
I don't know if it was 800. I think you might be exaggerating. Just a little bit. You might be pushing those numbers. You might be padding that account.
Do you think so?
Bit.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't think 800 people could fit in this studio.
I think we've had 800, and now today we have two. All right. Tonight, we are talking.
What are we talking about?
Super Bowl. It was a Super Bore.
You gave the lead away.
All right. First of all, there's no lead.
We're supposed to build to that, though.
This is the show, so there's no leading into the show.
But they could just turn off now because they already know how we feel about it.
We're not here to talk about the Super Bowl.
We were robbed. We were cheated. Not the show, but you're talking about the what everybody usually watches for. They don't watch for the game. They watch for all the trailers, the commercials.
No, that was the best part of the Super Bowl.
Oh, you're saying the ball game.
I watched
that ball game, and you know,
the mere fact that you're calling it a ball game.
It was a ball game.
Speaks to the audience that we actually show to, because quite frankly, Darren, who was the bald-headed Spanish fellow that we love.
I am sure
Darren and I are both big sports fans, so we actually watch for the football. Now, I'm a Jet fan, so I hate the Patriots.
The ball game. You watch the ball game. That is what us outsiders refer to, because it is a bunch of robust gentlemen in armor playing with a ball. That's what it is, and therefore, it is a ball game.
I know, but
I don't care what the parlance of our times is about it. It is a ball game. I watched the ball. It was. I'm respectfully referring to it.
Like 80s movie, where the guy who's into like comic books and nerds and geeks are like, I did not like the ball game.
I didn't even dislike the
and
ball
the jock
game.
That beats them up.
Like, listen, how it worked is I got to the Super Bowl party and
you are pinned up against a fence right now.
I am not.
By three jocks. And
really,
they're like, we hate you because you're a nerd. And you're like, but I like the ball game. And then they punch you.
Do you see three jocks intimidating me though?
No, because that's not what we do here.
Okay. I got to the party and I was like, okay.
You went to a Super Bowl party?
Yeah, I know.
Tell me about the Super Bowl party.
I go to one, the same one, for the last like 25 years. You know, very good friends of mine and friends of friends. And actually some mutual friends of ours were present.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm like, okay, so Pats and Rand, right? So.
Did you call them the Rands? Like they ran?
I said Pats and Rams.
Okay.
Right? I say, okay, so what are we doing here, guys? And everyone was like, Rams. We're all Rams.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, okay, so what about the Patriots?
And,
they're like, oh, yeah,
everybody hates those guys.
Nobody's team was playing. Everybody just decided who they hated.
Yes.
So we're not rooting for the Rams. We're rooting against the Patriots.
I always say sports is an amazing analogy for politics. This is exactly the amazing analogy for politics.
I know. Wait.
When people say to you, get out and vote, and you're like, well, I don't like either candidate. They're like, well, vote against the one you don't like.
Nobody likes
That's
that,
what
though.
The Super Bowl
I mean, all the,
no
all,
one
the
hates-
all the idealistic people don't like when you say that. How dare I have to vote against someone? I want to vote for someone because they think they live in the utopia, and we don't.
That was our Super Bowl.
So I'm like, everyone's voting for the, everybody's rooting for the Rams, right?
Yeah.
So I'm, all right, then I'm a Patriots guy, you know, just because I want to be different. And no one talked to me for the rest of the evening. I drank copious amounts of beer because no one talked to
that
me.
Is like
also
being,
because I
that
was
is like living,
queasy.
So I'm going to make this as non-political, a political statement. That is like living in New York or California and being like, I'm a Trump guy. I'm rooting for Trump tonight.
There's a
I'm rooting for Trump to win the election.
There's more than a few of them, and I've run into almost all of them.
Yeah.
here in New York City,
it's
totally fine. Love who you love.
There are Patriots fans who live in New York.
I don't understand the violence.
In fact, the head coach and the quarterback are Patriots.
Everyone at that party knows that I am not a football fan. That I'm not.
Merely saying.
Every
what
one of
you
them
just said.
Every all one right. of them knew that. Okay, and every one of them knew that I was a fair weather fan. I was a casual observer. Right. I don't understand why the vitriol. Why did I have to be hated?
So so people that tune into our show are neither football fans, maybe nor Trump fans. I don't know. Maybe they are. I don't know.
No but, comment.
So why don't we talk about the trailers that debuted? And one in particular.
I wanted to do that, but you started talking about the ball game and then making fun of me about the fact it wasn't
I
ball
love
game.
The fact that you're calling it the ball
I'm gonna
game.
I'm going to keep calling it a ball game because you love the fact that I'm calling it a ball game, which actually means you don't think I should be calling it a ball
you
game.
You absolutely should not be
there
calling
There you go. That's
it
why it's that's
game.
Why now it is a ball game. It is always going to be a ball
oh,
game.
Oh, my God.
I'm only
going to
use that on you because I know that other people will start swinging at me if I call it a ball game.
Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, I saw that.
Had a trailer.
Yeah, it did.
During the ball
game. During the ball game.
Chris,
yeah.
Chris, who's our producer yeah. tonight, who calls it a ball game?
I do. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. He knows better.
Oh, yeah. He knows better. Good Lord. Oh, my
it's
God.
It's a ball game. It's a game played with a ball. It's logic.
All right.
That's academic. That's just a simple academic.
So there were a couple trailers, okay, and we're gonna get into
all of
them. I know
you keep telling me
about
that.
We have no guest tonight, so we're gonna
keep telling me that too.
I'm gonna talk about the commercial that was the greatest commercial of all time, the greatest commercial crossover of all time. Avengers Endgame though kicked off the trailers. There's a Captain Marvel trailer. There's an Alita Battle Angel trailer, which we'll talk about as well too. Not new stuff necessarily though.
None of it.
But it's
nothing we haven't seen. People,
but it's the first time we'll talk about it.
A lot of people were watching the ball game last night, hoping for a glimpse of episode 9.
Crushing me every time. Like every time you say that. And I know at this point you're just saying it to crush me.
I know. It's like at the end of the day. But
in the end.
In the end, it's at the end of the day. But you know, no one saw it. Even though Lucasfilm said there's not going to be a trailer, guys, we're not going to be showing you a trailer. There a whole bunch of people was on Twitter today and on social media, like, damn, I really wanted there to be a trailer. Why was there no trailer? Why are they holding out? Why you know, Lucasfilm is doomed. They know they're doomed. They know the movie's crap. That's why they're not showing it to us early. There's a whole bunch of our typical favorite Star Wars conspiracy theories. So like, it's kind of funny. As you talk about like this, you know, those of us who refer to it as a ball game usually watch Super Bowl for the trailers, so for you know, for the commercials and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So
especially when the game is crap, which in the '80s and nineties it was crap.
Like constant crap.
It was like 55-14. That was an actual score in 1994.
That's that not game a crap was, game if you were cheering for the team that had 55 points.
I repeat that I'm a Jet fan, so no. I was hoping for a good game.
I don't know why you guys even show up.
Hey,
but
hey,
anyway.
We've got a good quarterback going forward. Chris and I will do a whole podcast on it. It'd be great. Go ahead. You don't think Sam Darnold's good?
Really? Well, there you go. There goes that.
No, I know. But Sam Darnold. I mean, Sam Darnold.
There goes that assertion.
All right.
That's all wrong.
Everyone's
apparently.
Like, I don't know who that Sam Darnold is. Does he look like Captain America?
I just know you're talking about that snazzy ball game where you're playing with that pigskin.
Oh. All right. So Avengers Endgame
grab that pigskin.
Was one of the first trailers that came out.
Right.
But immediately people are kind of looking at it and saying, something kind of looks kind of funny about this trailer. There's a lot of missing elements to this said trailer. So
there are missing elements.
IGN actually came up with an article, and they might be
Iggen came out with an article.
Did the Avengers Endgame Super Bowl trailer edit out a character? The Avengers Endgame Super Bowl spot had fans questioning some shots in the 30 seconds of new footage, whether if a character was edited out as to not give away any spoilers. Curiosity arose in regarding to two main shots, which appear to have awkward gaps between characters. We've already a good idea of who survived Thanos' snap at the end of Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah, because they showed us.
Yeah, well, I know. But some characters' survivals are unknown. Fans are speculating if characters are edited out, it could be anyone from Shuri, who we know is considered missing from the Avengers Endgame trailer, but we never actually saw disappear into dust, to Iron Man, who is currently trapped in space, although in the trailer they kind of tell you how he's going to get out.
He's stuck in space, but he's got Nebula with him.
Well, you see, know? Nebula wasn't with him in the original trailer, I think.
But he was with him at the end of at the end of Infinity War. She was with him.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, duh.
Oh, yeah.
That's not hard. Yeah, that's not right. A difficult one.
You're a smart guy.
I watched the film.
The biggest spoiler that would be avoided, though, is if Captain Marvel was edited out of these shots. What do you think?
Why would that be a spoiler if we knew that Captain Marvel was going to be some kind of deal in Endgame?
She has no role.
Yeah, exactly. That would be the spoiler.
Spoiler!
You know, they went so far as to show us that Fury was calling her at the end of Infinity War.
Right.
And her movie's coming first, specifically... So that we'd be set up properly for. Come on, that's news for the sake of news. Iggen needs to. I don't know. They should be ashamed of themselves. They're making a big deal out of nothing. What should be made a big deal of is how boring that trailer was. How completely uneventful that trailer was. It was just a whole. We're just gonna flash you a whole bunch of faces and
show. Do you know how much it cost? $5.25 million for a.
They flash faces and they darken the color palette. That they show that the color palette was like kind of grayed and washed out and kind of dark and grim, right? Grimmer than, you know, because half the universe disappeared. And, you know, they talked a little bit about how the world was, you know, empty, and they showed empty stadiums and stuff like that. You know, little sad moments.
Yeah.
I get it. But nothing happened. Didn't show us anything happen except for Captain America shaved his beard.
The only thing that, then they showed that in the first trailer, too. The only thing I thought was actually relevant, but you actually pointed out that Nebula was part of the
group there
anyway. So I was going to say that it was...
She was the one who set Star-Lord up to piss off fandom.
Yeah.
Because she told Star-Lord that obviously Gamora was dead because he went to whatever place and came back without her, right? So Star-Lord freaked out and punched Thanos in the face. And then somehow that freed Thanos and he destroyed the world. So, but Nebula was there. Nebula was one of the only people other than Tony Stark to survive, not disappear.
Yeah.
Everybody was focused on Spider-Man. Everyone was weeping because Spider-Man kind of turned to dust in front of him.
So before we go to commercial...
But we know there's another Spider-Man movie coming, so...
Before we go to commercial, do you think there was an edited out character?
Sure. They could have been. If they're going to edit out a mustache on Superman's face, they could edit out a whole character. I'm sure there is. I just don't... I know we do this. I know this is the job, but there's some things I just don't want to know about a brand new big event that's coming up that I just want to see. I want them to reveal it. I don't want to sit here I know that's what we're supposed to do, but I just can't stand how we just hammer and hammer away at the littlest, stupidest details and then decide to make a story out of no story. There's no story yet because you don't know if there was or there wasn't. Do it afterwards when we see it and we watch it, we compare footage again and they say, hey, they edited out that footage. That's a story. You know, hey, watch out for this, guys. They're taken to manipulating our trailers from our vision.
Isn't that something, though? Like, would that
be ridiculous? Footage in there on purpose.
Let me ask you a question and let me throw it out to our Facebook audience, our YouTube audience in general. Has that happened? Anyone know? No. Does anyone know of a trailer that may have been manipulated
There's tons
before
of them.
It goes.
Tons of them.
When we come back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
The initial idea was to replace Daredevil with Michael B. Jordan in season 3. Because rumor, Michael B. Jordan starring in every movie.
He's going to be hosting the show next week.
Is it going to be my co-host?
Yeah,
it's
going to be Jordan. Hassan,
I would fire you so fast if I could get Michael B. Jordan.
All right, well, there's that solidarity we were talking about.
Cha-ching! Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We talk comics, movies, TV, and pop culture every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc. Streaming live on Facebook.com/Secrets of the Sire and YouTube.com/Secrets of the Sire. I want to give a shout out to our patrons. Go to Patreon.com/Secrets of the Sire. Hey, it's a trend.
Imagine that.
How about that? brought to you by our beloved patrons, Craig Caruso, Einar Peterson, Matt Byer, Ashley Haikai, Omar Morales, Program Director Stephanie Dolce, and as always, our Uber fan, Christina Dolce. Okay, we were talking about the Avengers Endgame trailer, and I threw the question out, do trailers get manipulated in such a blatant way that Avengers Endgame potentially was manipulated, as per Jesse Wade's article on IGN?
Are you talking about like how was footage ever manipulated in general? You know, because we do have
cropping is different than like.
But
I'm
we do have a phenomenon
out,
where
right?
they show like deleted scenes in a trailer, and then you go to the movie to see that particular scene, and that scene didn't show up, or the scene was cut differently when you actually watch it from how you remember it to be in the trailer. That has happened a zillion times. There's 150, or you know they manipulate trailers. They use soundtrack music from other movies to make the actiony events, the explodey actions in the trailers look more explodey and more exciting. So they've done that. There's a lot of trailer manipulation. There's no honesty. There's absolutely no honesty. There's none of it is honest. None of it is like, hey, give our show a shake. Like,
all right, no, Tara Maria Lombardo said they edited out Spider-Man in the Civil War trailer.
What does she know about? She doesn't know anything.
Did they?
Tara doesn't think you and I are friends also, by the way. So
we hate each other.
Yeah,
so it's okay.
Absolutely.
Victoria Bennett,
yes, they
Victoria
did.
Bennett suggested
she's
that
right.
The new fan theory is that Far From Home takes place before Infinity War. And well, that,
yeah, I get that. And that, that could be...
The bus scene is actually them coming home from being abroad.
Fair enough. Here's the thing. Two things. Okay. Tara's absolutely correct because they did erase...
We hate each other?
Got yes,
you.
We do.
Done.
They did erase Spider-Man from Civil War.
Okay.
There is a... Victoria's might be correct. There is a possibility that it's a prequel. But why? What's the point of that? I'm not going to go see that if it's a prequel. Because I know how. Because I know how it ends. I know he turns to dust. So who cares what he does?
I disagree, though.
Spider-Man is coming back. There's no way Marvel. There's no way the MCU is killing Spider-Man.
No, they're not.
Spider-Man.
If Far From Home is a prequel, though, it has nothing to do with whether or not.
But it doesn't matter
what happens in Infinity War, though.
If they're gonna, but here's the thing: what they should have done was not make another Spider-Man movie until next year, right? And it wouldn't be up on the roster, so everybody would say if this manipulation speculation thing is real, they'd be like, I don't even see another Spider-Man movie coming up the pike, you know? So Spider-Man might actually be dead. He might really be dead. He might be gone. But no, you're going to put...
Come on. Come on.
What are you giving me to come on for? The other movie is in production, then I'm like, come on. Of course he's coming back. That's ridiculous. Why would they erase him from... Maybe they did. Maybe he's erased from the trailer. Who cares? Nothing you see can be real. Nothing is real. Nothing can be substantiated until we actually see the film. All of it could be. None of the footage you have seen so far may actually be in the film. It might all be outtakes. It might all be deleted scenes. It might all be, you know, like recut sequences. So I wouldn't really speculate. I think it's stupid because if you chose that film to put in your trailer...
Yeah.
Why'd you choose that film if you have to spend $5 million erasing somebody out of the footage? Why not choose other scenes without that spoilery character in it? Doesn't make any sense.
I don't disagree with that. I don't. So in that context, I say
they did it. Sure they did it, but who cares? I say they're dumb enough to do it, then sure they did it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, let's move on to another trailer.
Of course we're going to move on, because I was about to make a point. So, of course, that's what you want to do.
Is always move on.
I made my point. That's why I jumped over you and made my point, because I knew you were going to change the subject.
Well,
that's what we do.
But you made your point.
I put a stamp on my point.
Oh, okay.
I put my
so it's not just about making points.
You
need to put a LOTHR stamp on each point.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
I needed to put a Lord of the Radio stamp on my final point.
That was a Lord of the Rings stamp. Huh? That's what I was going for. Lord of the Rings.
I call it Lord of the Radio, though. So fine.
Look at you go. All right. There's a Captain Marvel trailer, and the big mantra was higher, further, faster. Did it go higher, further, faster for you?
It looked good. The footage looked good. It looked great. Yeah. I haven't seen anything new from it. I've seen her flying through space before. I've seen all the stuff in the,
My initial reaction was kind of like, what's the point? But then the other part of me is like, all right, it's a Super Bowl. I get it.
Yeah, and they show her in the Air Force. You know, they try to get that jingoistic thing going. So that's cool.
Let me ask you a question. If you see an ad... Not necessarily a Super Bowl ad, but most likely a Super Bowl ad where it says, go to the website to see the whole trailer. Do you ever do?
No.
No one ever does, right?
Because
like,
it's
Chris,
like...
you? No, he's shaking his head.
And you know 5 minutes from now you're going to be able to see it all on YouTube without having
secret... But I guess even that, I think most people, they have like a statistic of some kind.
I think because of your original point about the manipulation of the trailers, or IGN's original point about the trailer being manipulated, I think people are just kind of tired of being manipulated. Everybody is into the hype train. You caught them with Infinity War. Everybody waited patiently the year. Now it's coming out in 2 months, right?
Yeah.
So all right, we've seen enough. And then sometimes I don't want to see a full 15-minute segment out of this movie, which is usually the high point of the movie anyway.
I don't think they need to do that in this particular case either at this point. I think the last trailer was the coup d'etat, which is great too, because sometimes, you know,
that's what I'm saying about why would they manipulate. Like, if they did it, like, that's nonsense. Like, oh, manipulate, just cut that character out so that nobody knows. Like, you know, just cut that footage.
Yeah.
You got them anyway.
I know.
It's like Star Wars. You've got them anyway. I don't even care what people are talking about episode 9. They will show up.
I know. Stop it.
But anyway, but IGN needs something to write about, and that's what happened.
Hey, look, Jesse Wade is a fantastic reporter.
I'm not. I have no disrespect to those people in general, but they need something to hype out about, you know, because we don't do journalism anymore. We don't send people to the sets. We don't have people having interviews with the lighting guy and the director of photography. We don't do it anymore. It's just all what if we're being lied to? What if we're being screwed? What if we're being misdirected?
Yeah.
What if we're seeing something that we're not really supposed to be seeing, even though we're seeing it and we didn't know we were seeing it until we saw it, and then we are upset that we saw it because it was a spoiler. What would we do? And that's what journalism is now. So, you know, of course they need something to get the hype train going. But I don't think I don't think that movie's going to suffer.
Let me ask you a question. Out of all the trailers that I was most impressed with, I got to be honest with you, Alita Battle Angel was the most impressive to me. No?
No.
And maybe it's because I'm not familiar with the source material.
I'm going to say something really, really uncharacteristic of me.
I'm all ears. Let's do it. Let's do it.
James Cameron has never let us down. There were some movies that he has put out. Yeah.
You're right.
There's some movies that he has
you're
put out.
You're not wrong.
That you're like, this is not going to... What are you trying to do? We know the boat sinks, James. No one's going to go see your stupid... It's a really expensive Titanic movie, you know? Oh my God, James, are you talking? Did you make a movie about blue Indians and on an alien planet with floating rocks, James? No one's gonna see that, James.
Except you're
being stupid.
Day.
Exactly. So here we go, Battle Angel, and everyone's like, her eyes are too big.
Alita.
Well, yes. Whatever. Alita Battle Angel.
No, to be honest with you, I just did that.
Such an ass.
No, I am an ass, and I am very obnoxious about it because, quite frankly, leading up to it, I am so in the not know of this movie that I kept calling it Battle Angel Alita when I was just talking about it in general. Like
because
in pre-production.
I think that's the manga is called Battle Angel Alita.
Oh, is it really?
I think
am I
so.
Like, am I like
I don't
super
know.
Smart?
It might
know
be Alita it? Battle Angel. I'm dyslexic, so I might have that back.
I don't know.
But it doesn't matter.
All right, awesome. Hey, look, if that means that I score some points for my own
But
deep thread,
okay,
I'm
Alita,
cool
Battle
that.
Angel, right? Everyone was complaining about her eyes are too big and this and that is too big. I just think it's going to be a spectacle. James Cameron is good at giving us a spectacle. Is it going to be a quality film with meaningful, you know, segments in it that you know, tug the heartstrings and make us really think about the failures of our society at large? No, it's just going to be something we're going to go, wow, that was really pretty, and we're all going to keep throwing our quarters into the machine to see it, just like he's
it
done with us.
Really,
I don't know if it's going to. I will not speculate that this movie is going to be another greatest movie of all time.
Mahershala Ali is in it as well too, and that guy's fucking awesome. Ooping, that guy's awesome. Like you watch,
he's all right.
Are you watching True Detective?
Yeah, yes, he's okay.
Wink, wink, nod, nod, because you keep telling me about how great True Detective is,
uh-huh.
And I did watch the first episode.
That's why I'm saying
it was great.
That's why I'm saying he's okay. That's why I'm totally BSing.
Like that's why
you
haven't
seen
there.
You haven't seen the most recent episode.
No,
which
I
you
have not.
Talk
I'm
about.
On episode two. I'm on episode two.
That the most recent episode is unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's, and I'm not talking about because of what happens in it, just because of the drama that's in it. It's really good. But yes, so that guy Mahershala Ali is fantastic. He's probably going to be underused in this because this is an action adventure spectacle. This is probably a resume piece for him. It's not like a Green Book or anything like that where he's,
you know, I mean, he was Hunger Games, so it's not like he needs a franchise necessarily. But that being said, he was a bit player in
So this
Hunger
is bigger,
Games,
you know,
so.
It's a bigger piece for him and everybody needs one of these.
But that being said, he's like one of those actors though. I'm not putting him in Tom Hanks's category yet, but he's pretty damn close. Where you just sit there,
he
and go
could
like,
be.
You just sit there and go like, all right, whatever he's in is going to be great. Like even if it's not great, it's still like I'm very happy that I plunked down.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well,
sum of
he's,
money.
He's one of those
or
people.
Or my cable bill or my like rental. Like you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
no, I get what you're saying. So, I wouldn't count on him as being a saving grace for this movie. I think right. He's just going to be a feature in it. You know, he's just going to be there. He might not even be there as much as you want him to. I just think it's going to be a spectacle.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be enough for it. And I do not predict it's going to be another super movie for Cameron where it makes more money than any other movie that's ever made.
But Cameron's the producer in this, right?
Yeah. But I mean, he's been behind this project for a long time. No, he didn't. I don't think he directed this.
No.
But he's been behind this project for a long, long time.
Sure, sure.
So, you know, he's pushing it. But if he's put his name on it and he's pushing it like that, it's
right.
probably going to be something.
I would imagine.
You know, but it could be Ghost in the Shell. It could be another one of those.
You think so?
Could be.
Was he was a producer on that?
No, but I mean, that was another manga live act, you know, like attempt to broaden and to three-dimensionalize a very famous manga movie, which was Ghost in the Shell with Scarlett Johansson.
Fair enough.
So, you know, and you remember what happened with that, right? that didn't work out so great. So
not a great movie, not a terrible movie.
Not a great movie, but it was panned. You know, it hurt. It was hurt really bad.
Do you know what was not a waste of my time? And do you know what was actually the entire highlight of my night?
I'm not
especially gonna, because the Rams couldn't put up more than 3 points.
I'm not going to help you with your segue.
I'll let you know when we get back.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio, Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Rosario Dawson's just got
whoever her agent is.
She's like, put me in everything.
Yeah. everything. But you don't mean everything, do you? No, I do.
No.
I mean everything.
I mean everything.
I want to be in someone's birthday cake next week.
that may have been the funniest thing you've ever said.
No.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We do this every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc, and streaming live, facebook.com/secretsofthesire.
I want my Wednesdays back.
You'll be getting them back pretty soon, actually, pretty good.
Look
what I just did there. Is that a little foreshadowing? Ooh. Darren C. Guzman just asked, what about the ball game's halftime show? Stop calling it the ball game.
Yes. Thank you, Darren.
The funny part is, with the exception of Ryan Bodenheim, who draws for Valiant Comics and has done a bunch of stuff at Image, no one in our industry is into the sports.
into them sports.
Darren Sanchez. Yeah. Sorry, Darren Sanchez.
Darren Sanchez
and I are into the sports.
Scott Klein.
Mike Martz.
Scott Klein.
Yeah, but Scott Klein does
He was at my Super Bowl party.
I know. Mike Martz. Who is one of the founders of Aftershock Comics.
Mm-hmm.
He's into the sports.
He likes the sportmanship thing.
Right.
The ball games.
So when you call it the sports.
At least not like Mitt Romney, sport. I'm into sport. I really like sport.
The best commercial was not a movie trailer.
I don't agree with this. Now, let me hear.
All right,
let me hear why you think it's the best. Let me hear your rollout.
All right, I'll actually tell you exactly why it's the best.
Okay.
Okay, because right. Bud Light has been doing since last Super Bowl.
Yeah, this medieval.
The last big bowl. Uh-huh. Since the last big ball game.
Ball game, yeah. The sport game.
They've been doing the Dilly Dilly, yes. The Bud Night, which, to be honest with you,
it's and I like
so
that they didn't bother to explain. As far as I know, I like that they didn't bother to explain Dilly
such
Dilly.
It's such a great premise, mm-hmm. that they've failed so miserably with their previous commercials. Like you sit there, go like the Bud Night, yeah, and then make these commercials, and you're like, that could have been so much better. Like even people who are not writers, and I'm not a commercial advertising
the ones that there are, the
writer. I'm just talking about people in general watching it, going like. Yeah, we that could have been better. Like everything with the Bud Knight could have been better.
Up until Sunday
when they upped their game and did the best commercial of the Super Bowl, which was the Game of Thrones crossover,
mm-hmm.
which was having the Bud Knight
only
get
8 years
eyes.
Too late on the last year of Game of Thrones.
No, that's what made it even so much better. Is they did it. They finally did it. They had the mountain,
mm-hmm.
destroy the Bud Knight. With his, I mean, a la the guy who, by the way, is friends with a friend of mine. So I know the guy who knows the guy who knows Oberon, who got his eyes plunked out. I am the guy who knows the guy that knows Oberon.
Okay. All right.
And then the dragon comes and just blows them all up. Dilly Dilly. Awesome. 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 Chris? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
It was so loud at my Super Bowl party, I didn't hear any of the commercials.
That too. After my Super Bowl party, like they like to talk through the commercials.
After the fact, no.
It was cool to see, but I mean, I think the evening was such a, and look, the difference between us is I was never looking into the Bud Light commercials for any potential whatsoever. I was like, oh, the Bud Night. That's interesting. That's all right. I like the commercial where
you just like picked up the comic off the rack and you're like,
yeah,
I don't know what the back history
yeah,
of
I don't know
is.
What this is.
But then you see the editor's note and you're like, oh, there's a history
to this. That's interesting.
Alicia Davis just joined. Literally just joined and said best commercial of the day. I guess that makes it right then. But here's the funny thing about the about that.
I like
awesome.
The commercial where he throws the two people in the dungeon because they try to make him drink mead.
Oh, yeah,
the king, they try to make the king drink mead instead of his Bud Light.
Have you ever had mead? It's terrible. It's not good. It's just awful.
Depends on the mead.
Here's the funny thing about that Game of Thrones commercial, though.
Several
so
kinds
I,
of mead, and some of it is good.
I did some digging afterwards, and it took me a lot of time to find the press release that they released afterwards, and also to quote a Polygon.com article. HBO insisted the Game of Thrones Super Bowl crossover kill the Bud Knight. So HBO actually went out of their way.
Now, can you tell me for a second,
uh-huh.
for a moment, what exactly was wrong with that commercial?
With what?
With the mountain.
Well, what do you mean? I don't get what you mean.
He was wearing the old Kingsguard
armor. Oh, my
armor.
God.
Hey, did you want to talk about this or what?
Holy.
Did you want to talk about
bing,
this
bing,
or what?
Bing, 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 bing. Shit.
Bing. Don't bring it up if you
according
don't want
to
discuss
according to a press
it.
Release that followed the
so,
debut.
Okay, you didn't know.
Well, wait.
You can just
right,
admit
so,
you didn't
so
know.
So hang on. No, I did not know. Nor will I ever know. Nor will I ever care to know that.
That's
oh, my God.
That's an important detail.
All right, well, here's
that's
the funny
important.
Part about what you just said, and it actually segues into what I'm about to say. According to a press release that followed the debut, the spot was the work of two directors, Bud Light's Spencer Riviera, who shepherded the original Bud Knight campaign, and David Nutter, the director of The Red Wedding, who reunited with more than 25 Game of Thrones crew members to shoot the commercial's conclusion. Seeing as the marketing for the final season is meant to be mysterious and scarce, show creators David Benioff and D.B. Weiss were personally involved with the creation for the spot. The real twist of the spot is that Anheuser-Busch ad executives were wary to embark on the crossover at all. Surprise, surprise. A Wall Street Journal postmortem suggests that those running the Bud campaign were wary over allowing the mountain to mash the Bud Light into oblivion.
I'm surprised they would let them do that. That's HBO's their mascot.
HBO's marketing chief, Chris... Oh, I'm going to butcher this.
Yeah.
Spadaccini. Actually, I didn't butcher it because it's Italian. Maybe. Dolce. Had other thoughts. The Bud Light had to die. Which is how we wound up with a brutal murder on primetime network television.
That you is got probably Spadaccini that you couldn't do murder. Did that just happen? Who's Myrtle? What the hell?
I'd argue with you if I had any leg to stand on. That's a drop, by the way. And if Hassan would get off his lazy ass and make that drop,
oh, there it is.
We'll have it next show.
There it is. That we'll have it next one.
Hassan's always like,
I've been shamed.
Hassan's always like, you got to tell me when you want these drops to be made. I literally just did.
All right, yeah.
That is probably not the best thing to be showing, Andy Goeler, vice president of marketing for Bud Light, told the Wall Street Journal.
But they let it happen. Letting our mascot that we spent millions of dollars on be slaughtered by an outdated version of a pop culture icon, right?
Yeah.
That's probably not the best idea we could have come up with. Yeah, probably not. I mean, it got them a little bit of attention, though, right? What did it do for them? Do we have the metrics on?
So let me tell you right now. I'm going to just go from my own personal stat meter, okay? let me tell you about Bud Light, actually, a second. All right,
hold on. I always listen to a story about Bud Light.
Bud Light was...
Beer-flavored water.
The premier drink of any college student.
Mm?
My wife will go on record and say
I
that...
I, too, attended college,
The yuppie college kids only drank Bud Light. Whereas the poor
college
kids...
Because there was no alcoholic content in it.
The poor college kids would go for Natty Light, Genesee Light, because that was the cheapest beer you could get.
Okay.
So that was actually looked down on. This is the age...
This is the age where Bud Light drinkers to look down on.
The good thing is we don't have any millennial viewers and or downloaders. I'm just assuming we're all like fucking old as fuck as like us. Bing, bing, bing,
bing, bing, bing, bing. What the heck? That's what happens. No one in the studio? And I know. Just let it loose?
I know. why not? Who gives a fork? So Bud Light was seen as the beer of choice for the upper
middle class.
Yes.
The upper echelon.
Yes. But not only that, though, I could drink like 12 of those, and it was amazing.
Because they had no alcohol in them.
I know. So Bud Light actually has a fond memory to me.
So
that being said, wait. The story goes somewhere. Ready? But as I got older, and the craft brewery scene started popping up, I started getting into craft breweries. Mm-hmm. I started getting into craft brews, and then I got old. I'm married and I have kids. So I'm old, right? I'm old as old AF. And recently, my wife
only
and I.
Old because you got.
And
kids.
I say recent. And I say recently. Yes, I say recently. We were at a minor league baseball game this past summer, and there is a craft brew room that you can get beer from. My wife was tasked with getting us beer, as we're like literally shepherding our child to the train to ride around the ballpark because it's a minor league baseball stadium. It's great, and all you care about is just making sure your kid has attention 100% of the time.
Because
and she hands me the
children thieves.
She hands me the beer. And I drink it and I go, oh, is this a Hefeweizen? Is this, it's got a lighter, shame. And she goes, it's a Bud Light. And I go, it's delicious. So my stat meter for that commercial was not only do I love Bud Light again.
Bud Light is wonderful.
But it was an amazing crossover with Game of Thrones.
I guess.
Quick question before we go.
Do you think that they gained anything out of it?
I'm going to drink more Bud Light.
So they gained you. They got you at least. Okay.
I'm good for at least.
That was the moral of your story.
If I could drink 12, I'm good for at least 6 now.
Fair enough. We'll go for Bud Light after this show.
Now, the irony is I don't get out much.
You just get your own little case. You know?
So 12 beers
it's not as
from
pathetic.
A Thursday to a Sunday with an occasional Monday Night Wing Night. With an occasional Thursday night.
It's not
night
as pathetic if you drink a case of Bud Light alone.
Keg party.
Because Bud Light is so light on you that it really is like drinking some Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
It's really not that bad.
Darren Guzman chimed in, Stella Artois.
That
when
was, a,
we
that was
come
the best commercial.
Back. We've got an amazing Spin the Racks. We've got Rob Liefeld, and we've got a guy who took Mr. Freeze to the extreme.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
I had a ticket bought for me by,
oh, okay, okay,
by an enthusiastic friend.
No. Did you know that that friend now asked me to go?
So does that mean I don't have a ticket anymore?
This is correct. This is correct. I actually passed it on to Sam. So now Sam
so
is
Sam's going
with your friend.
With my friend.
To the show.
Well, now I have a lot to say about this. And none of it's good.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We do this every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc. This was a cool show because we didn't have big-time Netflix producers. We didn't have podcast hosts. We didn't have Marvel executives. We just had me and you. And we had a whole bunch of Super Bowl commercials. And...
That's why I say the show sucked.
What we do every week is we
Not
go
the-
spinning. The
spin the rack, spin the rack.
Local man arrested
what?
After cosplaying Mr. Freeze and yelling cold weather puns at people.
Well,
I got it. So
was it too soon?
Let me do both a side story and a little backstory for all of our listeners. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
The backstory is it's been effing cold. Last week.
Yeah, this week
up until
warm.
Like no, this week was amazing. It was like 60 degrees. Which is why I'm with the South Park guys where I was never against climate change. Like I was never against like the science of it, but I was kind of like I need to know there's proof. When it goes to like 14 and then all of a sudden it's like 60, I'm like, all right, I'm good. And even the South Park guys are like, all right, I guess Man Bear Pig is real. we should probably do something about it.
We should. And we only have a few years left. So.
That's the backstory, right?
Mm.
The side story is, the cool part about doing this show is you just have people come out of the woodworks and they're like, I thought you'd be interested in this. And most of the time I'm like, I don't need to know about Stan Lee because I've known about Stan Lee for a long time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But a friend of mine, Jeff Buterman, sent me, local man arrested after cosplaying Mr. Freeze and yelling cold weather puns. This is from the Sioux Falls Headliner. A local man was arrested early Wednesday, that was last week, at Walmart after walking around the parking lot yelling cold weather puns at shoppers. Mm-hmm. He told me he was going to change the stop sign to say freeze. He was dressed up in some clear plastic that looked like hand-painted baby blue. That's what the article says.
Right.
To really get the whole ice look down. He was also trying to talk like Arnold did in Batman and Robin. I thought it was pretty funny. Not everyone thought the man's puns were funny, though.
Probably
the man
not.
Told me I needed to cool it. On the makeup I was wearing.
Oh, boy.
I took serious offense to that. Who says that to a person? I'm really thinking about suing him, said one woman we spoke with. Who was actually... Wait, this is the best part. This is in the article. Said one woman... One woman we spoke with who was actually wearing too much makeup. Authorities were called. After a few citizens were concerned in the man's well-being.
They were
well
concerned about her
state.
Makeup, not the guy dressed like Mr. Freeze.
They arrested her, too.
There's a Joker out here and some guy dressed like Mr. Freeze.
The best part, though, is authorities were called after a few citizens were concerned about the man's well-being and mental state. Have they been to Comic-Cons?
Oh, my God. There
would be arrests everywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
But you still got
to
look
That's
into
like the glass line where Sarah Paulson's okay. like, have you been to a comic book convention?
Yeah. However, if you were a cop, you got to look into the guy dressed like Mr. Freeze. You have to. If it's not a convention happening and it's just a random Wednesday, you got to go check that guy out. You don't necessarily have to do anything to him.
Yeah.
You might just want to observe him running around and being silly. But you owe it to society at large to check that guy out at least once.
When we showed up to arrest him, he told my officers they needed to chill.
Come on! This guy's awesome.
They thought it was pretty funny, but we still brought him in for questioning.
You guys need to chill. Chill out, bird boy.
I literally just sunk my seat.
Yeah, I saw that.
With my
laptop. I was trying to hold the show while you had their technical difficulty over there.
The man was released after making more cold weather jokes on the way to the deployment.
You gotta admire how he just...
I love him. I love that guy.
You gotta admire how he had enough cold weather jokes on hand to hold off an entire community
How much prep work goes into...
That's a lot. That's a lot. Like, and
that's a lot, right?
And I'm assuming it was cold that day anyway, right? So that's kind of brave to be out there in the cold wearing a costume, you know, talking about how cold it is.
All right, before we go
on
the next,
nose, though.
Before we go on to the next story, Darren C. Guzman keeps telling me about the Stella Artois commercial. Yes, it starred the dude.
Yes, it did.
And I actually did kind of like the commercial, I'm not going to lie.
It was a pretty funny commercial.
Victoria Bennett, though, wonders why even bother spending all that money for primetime spots if everyone's just going to watch it earlier. The dude commercial was the only commercial I saw earlier.
Yeah, it was the only one that broke. Very.
And frankly, I don't like watching the commercials before the Super Bowl.
Basically, they broke the dude commercial early because when Jeff Bridges basically announced that he was putting his dude costume back on, everyone thought they were making a sequel.
Yeah.
So he kind of had to get control of that brush fire before people saw, is this all? And then started breaking the place up. So. Yeah. That's the only reason we saw it earlier.
I don't want to see.
I agree. Like, but you know what I think does suck, though? Sometimes you will see the commercial on the ball game night, and you will see the commercial, and it'll be this extended version of the commercial, and you won't be able to find that particular version of the commercial ever again. And that's what kind of bugs me.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be like this. There'll be like a 2-minute like feature commercial that's kind of a special thing, and you want to just see that version again. And then everywhere you look for it, it'll be like the edited version or the dumbed down version of it. That kind of gets on my nerves.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, we got one more story tonight, and I think this is actually one I held over from last week as well too.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Chris Arant.
Okay,
who's actually pronounced Chris Arant, but I think Arant is a much better.
Myrtle.
I think you should totally do that. From Newsarama. Liefeld pulls out of Netflix deal, shopping Extreme Universe elsewhere. Rob Liefeld has announced that his deal with Netflix...
They fired him.
...for film adaptions of his several Extreme titles is dissolved, and he is shopping the rights elsewhere. In a brief statement on Twitter, the Image Comics co-founder said there was an impasse just months into the deal announced back in March. I get questions about Netflix all the time. After being in an impasse this summer, I took Extreme elsewhere for a better fit and deal. There is no Netflix deal more soon enough. Now, I'll tell you from experience, dealing with different production companies and dealing with like Hollywood in general, I'm shopping a bunch of stuff and I have people shopping things for me right now. It's such a cluster F. It's just such a cluster F. Like, we have three different people shopping the same thing for us. And at the same time, we're like, yes to this, no to that. So when I read this, you know, when you read this from the outside, you're kind of like, what's going on? Did he get fired? Like you said, this and that. I'm just like, no, it's probably just Hollywood. It's probably just like,
yeah, it's no longer. I mean, the lesson learned from all this stuff is let the comic book people tell the stories that they want to tell. Yeah. Like from Marvel.
Well, that's why I always wanted to get into comics.
Right.
It's like you have total control.
Well, I mean, that's the message on top, right? That's the cover letter. Like, yeah, just let these guys, you know, do what they want. And they look at MCU, you get that result.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is, yeah, they want the MCU result, but they still want control.
Yeah.
So they'll let someone like Liefeld come in and pitch his stuff, and they'll say, hey, we're very interested in this because, right, we very much want to set this up. But we want to change all your characters into women, and we want to change all the, you know, we, yeah, want to make this, you know, we want to make it in Seattle instead of New York because our demographic shows X because of Y.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you don't really want what I'm selling.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
And that's kind of usually how it happens.
So here's the funny thing, too. I'm just reading more of the article, too. Back in March, when the deal was announced, Liefeld described it as a 7-figure rights deal for 6 extreme titles. I'm going to play, can you name these titles? Just say yes or no. Brigade.
Yeah.
Bloodstrike.
No.
That sounds like the wizard name your Rob Liefeld character, yes, which, by the way, popped up as a meme on Twitter and became huge as well. Cybrid.
No.
Rejects.
No.
Blood Wolf.
Yeah,
that was the black and white, right? That was the image. What was the?
No, Blood Wolf. Blood Wolf was the Wolverine. Like,
no. But I'm saying it was part of the anthology, though.
Maybe
that Jim Lee did. Remember, it was Jim Lee had who was the Vietnam vet?
Yeah,
he basically was like, I want to draw like Frank Miller, and so he
right.
He
drew, but
like,
that Frank wasn't Norton. Blood Wolf.
Yeah, no, Blood Wolf was part of that.
He was part of that. But that wasn't the character.
And Kaboom.
I don't know.
I think so. Other titles such as Youngblood, Prophet, and Evangeline weren't included in the deal. So I kind of have a feeling like Netflix is like,
no,
we're getting your sloppy seconds.
Yeah. Nobody knows who any of these characters are. They have no history, really.
Kind of don't want to be in a business with you.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my prediction. All right.
Kaboom.
Next week, check out my awesome interview with Macy Gray. She talks Spider-Man. She talks just music in general, which turns off most of our viewers, so I'm going to stick to the Spider-Man stuff as much as humanly possible. Tune in next week. We'll see you then.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.